We welcome you again in another episode with Heroes of Faith, and we welcome His Grace Bishop Yusuf in this episode. We thank you, Sayyidina, for being with us and bearing with us all these episodes. Today we're going to talk, Sayyidina, about a great grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Although she was not a Jew, she was a Moabite, but she was rewarded to be a great grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Her name is Ruth. Ruth Sayyidina is a very unique story in the Bible, and a story that we always remember in every day in our life as we live as families, parents, children, grandmothers, mothers-in-law, and fathers-in-law. And as Ruth, being a daughter-in-law, she was very close to her grandmother, to her mother-in-law. And I need from you, Sayyidina, a word from you to the old daughter-in-laws, how to deal with their mother-in-law.
There are some points that any daughter-in-law should consider and think about. Number one, she should actually perceive and consider her parents-in-law as her own parents. Once this perception is clear in my mind, and I will deal with them as if they are really my parents, because my personal parents also have their strengths and their weaknesses. So the parents of the spouse will also have their weaknesses and their strengths. And as I deal with my own parents, I should deal with the parents of the spouse. And in this way, the whole idea of the mother-in-law will be gone, because now I am not going to see her as mother-in-law, I will see her as a real mother to me. The second point, which is very important, a wise spouse should not put her spouse or his spouse in a place in which he has to choose between his mother, for example, or his wife. Because it's very, very difficult to make such a choice. And if a wife put her husband in this situation, actually, In the experience that I saw in my life, actually, she will lose, because the attachment to the parents most of the time are very, very strong. And the person, how would he compromise his parent for his spouse? So a wise wife or a wise husband should not put place the other spouse in a choice between his parent and him or her. But on the other side, we see many cases of unhealthy attachment with the parents. And that's why the Bible said the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and also to the wife, forsake your parent and your father's house. So here how we have developed a healthy attachment with my parents, and if I have this healthy attachment, this will not aggravate the spouse to take a stand against, you know, his parents. Transparency in dealing with the parents is very, very important. Many times I see husbands or wives have like secrecy in their relationship with their parents, and they hide this. They are not transparent with their wives or their spouse about this relationship. This secrecy or lack of transparency will make the spouse wonder what's going on there. And will actually plant seeds of insecurity in the heart of the spouse. And because of this insecurity, this can be potential for a major conflict between the daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law. So I think handling all these issues need wisdom, need transparency, need trust. Another point I recommend that if there is any conflict between the husband and his parent, or the wife and her parents, the other spouse should not intervene. Because they know over the years how to resolve their conflict together. And the blood bond is very strong to help them how to resolve their conflict together. And if the spouse wants actually to intervene, he should intervene in a positive way to encourage the husband or the wife to be to reconcile and to have peace with his parents, not actually to turn him against his parent or turn her against her parents. And the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law should have a direct and clear communication with his parents-in-law. He should not send messages through the spouse. He should have direct relationship, direct and clear communication. When they develop this bond, direct and clear communication, actually this will help them to resolve any conflict between them without again getting the husband or the wife to be in the middle. It will escalate the situation.
The strange thing, Sayyidina, in this story that we don't know if the biological mother of for Ruth was living at that time or not. The Bible does not say if her mother, the biological mother, was living or not. But she elected and she selected to stay with her mother-in-law rather than to stay with her family, which really a very far or high level of honoring her mother-in-law.
I think what helped the situation is that the three of them, and I'm going to say who is the third person, the three of them were very, very godly and wise characters. Naama was a very loving, kind mother-in-law, and we see how she cared about Ruth and in the advice she gave her regarding Boaz. She was faithful and sincere. Ruth also was very an ideal example of how the wife and the daughter-in-law should be. And here I can tell, although we don't have any information about Ruth's husband, but I can say that her husband was a very loving and caring, and she loved his mother, or he helped Ruth also to love her mother. Because when the husband is loving and caring and godly, this actually will help his wife to build a good relationship with his parents and family of origin. So I think these three characters, each one of them were faithful, were wise, were godly, and that's why actually they deserve to be in the family of Christ. As you said, she became the grandmother of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Would you add, Sayyidina, a couple of more points to our mothers-in-law? All the mothers have to deal with their daughters-in-law.
As I said about the daughter-in-law, should consider the mother-in-law as her own mother. I think the mother-in-law should think about her daughter-in-law as her own daughter. I think the insecurity about my son now belongs to her, not to me, this insecurity will be the triggering point for all the power struggle between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law. But if she look at it, now instead of having a son, I have a son and a daughter. You know, so my family now is growing and increasing, you know, and this would make her deal with her daughter-in-law not as competitors, but as, you know, family working together and growing together for the glory of God. But the point here, I think, the insecurity again in the heart of the mother about losing her son, or he's not her son anymore, he became the husband of son. So this insecurity trigger the power struggle. And again, my advice in general, don't get into a power struggle, because once you get into a power struggle, everybody loses. Mm-hmm. Everybody loses. We have to give choices, we have to develop way of communication, we have to develop ways of understanding each other, supporting each other, not competing with each other. So here, I give advice to the mother-in-law not to get into a power struggle with her daughter-in-law, and not to put her son again in a choice between his wife and her. Many mothers put a huge guilt on their children, on their sons, and poor this person, you know, he feels like, you know, between two pressing powers, and he doesn't know what to do. So, although she does this in the name of love, but actually she put a lot of stress and a put of torture on her own son.
I think Sayyidina also, the mothers-in-law, sometimes they feel their responsibility about this new family, and they interfere in many situations. Where do you think they should put their boundaries? To stay in love with their children, with their sons and daughters, and at the same time become the good advisor and experienced tool for all of them to come back to her and to ask.
Should respect the freedom of the people to follow our advice or not. Even God respected our freedom.
Yes.
God has the desire to save everybody, not to lose a single person. But he told us, before you, that is the way of life and the way of death. Choose life to live. The point here, many mothers want to force the new family to follow the way of life, according to their understanding or according to their... And they want to dictate on her son and her daughter-in-law how to raise the children, how to do stuff, how to do this. Of course, once they don't respect the freedom of the person, even if their advice are very, very good, but this will create rebellion and resistance. But if I give the advice and I respect their freedom to follow it or not to follow it, actually there is a big chance to follow the advice if it is a good advice.
So it's very important for them to be with us or to be with their families as an advisor and as an experienced mother, but at the same time to respect their freedom to choose
exactly.
their own choices,
exactly.
their own decisions.
And St. Paul, in his letter to Titus, he said, instruct old women to advise the young women to love their husbands,
yeah.
to stay at home, to raise godly children, which means the mother, her responsibility does not end when her daughter is married, but she has responsibility even after her daughter will be married to advise her, but to respect also their freedom, but to advise her to love her husband, to make home of the new family, to raise her children in a godly way, as St. Paul said to his disciple Titus.
Thank you, Sayyidina. It's a great lesson for all of us, and we thank you for being with us today in this episode with Ruth, and we thank you for all of you following us, and if God revealed himself in Ruth, he can reveal himself in you.